Today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Shishi, Mishnah Aleph. So we've been talking about, until now, the differences between Safek Tumah Brishut HaRabim, Safek Tumah Brishut HaYachid, and when those differences are going to be definitive. But remember that the definition of Brishut HaRabim and Brishut HaYachid is very slippery. When it comes to the Hilchas Tumah, when it comes to Shabbos, everything is very clear. It's all physically defined. It's such and such a height of surrounding mechitzot and so on is Rishut HaYachid. Less than that is Rishut HaRabim and so on and so forth. But what you're talking about, Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaRabim, which is learned out from the Dinim of Sotah, you can have an area that becomes a Rishus HaRabim during the time, let's say you're in a valley and everybody gets together around the time when it's planting time or it's harvesting time. So then it's full of people, and that's what defines Rishus HaRabim when it comes to Tumah V'Taira, because it is based on Sotah. The din of Sotah is based on Nistara. Nistara means that she was alone with the guy, and therefore three is already a crowd, right? So at this point, if you've got three people there, three is a crowd, and that is considered to be Rishut HaRabim. But the same area, two weeks later, has nobody coming around. And then there's even halachic differences, because when it's the rainy season, you're not allowed to traipse through people's fields. So that makes it an area that's a Rishus HaYachid. And Masha Ein Kein, when you're not going to cause any damage, you can walk through the fields, which may make it a Rishus HaRabim in places where people need to cut through. So you could have a Rishus that just one day is Rishus HaYachid, and one day it's Rishus HaRabim, and then 3 weeks later it's Rishus HaYachid again. What happens then? So you have a Makom Shehoya Rishut HaYachid, and then it becomes a Rishut HaRabim. And then it changes again, and it becomes a Rishus HaYachid. So the thing is, in that case, while it's in its state of Rishut HaYachid, the din is Safek Tumah Rishut HaYachid, Sveiko Tameh. While it's in a din of being Rishut HaRabim, then its Sveiko is Tahar. But this can create some fascinating situations, because let's imagine a case like this. A person is a very sick, close-to-death individual. So he is misukan, and he's critically ill, and he may die at any moment. And he's in a Rishut HaYachid. So this person's in a coma, and actually, in order for us to establish if he's alive or dead, we're going to need to get some more sophisticated instruments. We can't even really tell that he's breathing. And he's in a Rishut HaYachid. So they take him out from there into Rishus HaRabim and to try to examine him, don't get any data, put him back into Rishus HaYachid. Basically, the guy ends up never recovering, and clearly at some point in this coma, he had actually died. And the next time that we come into Rishus HaYachid to check him out, we find that he's definitely dead. Question is, at what point had he died? I mean, maybe he died when he first went into the coma. Maybe he died only afterwards. Or maybe he just died before we showed up now, where he's been in the Rishus HaYachid the second time, what's called Rishus HaYachid. What's the din legabe negia in that person? Obviously, it would have to be negia of a ben dat, of course. So even if we're talking about kelim that a ben dat was holding, because if it wasn't a ben dat that was holding, then it would be a suffix where ein bo dat lishael. And remember that we defined before that all of these dinim of suffix tumor reshut hayachid and their chumra is only where there's consciousness that's involved and there's someone conscious to speak to. If it was something that happened on its own, then it would not be considered to be a Safek Tumah Brishut HaYachid. So what happens there? So basically, says the Tanakhama, It's the same halacha. Anything that came in contact with him, or person that came in contact with him, while he was in the Rishus HaYachid, he's considered to be Tamei. But while he's in the Rishus HaRabim, he's considered to be Tahor. It's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Says Rabbi Shema, how could it be the same thing? If the Rishus HaRabim came in between, right? So first he was in the Rishus HaYachid, then he's in the Rishus HaRabim. But if he's in the Rishus HaRabim, how could we paskin that somebody who touched this guy in this middle state of Rishus HaRabim is Tahar, if we're saying that the guy was dead when he was in Rishus HaYochid? This is a remarkable recovery, and it's the first time that we've got clear-cut evidence that the guy came back from the dead. Because, I mean, after all, he's Tahar while he was in the Rishus HaRabim. I find that very suspicious, says Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, once you're going to paskin that this person is a Tahar, because he's now in the Rishus HaRabim, he couldn't possibly have been Tamei before because he's dead in the Rishus HaYochid, could he? So therefore, the only time that we're going to be Machmer and say that he's Tamei is the second time after it turned back into Rishus HaYochid. But we couldn't possibly call the guy first dead and then alive. All right, so now this is a very strange kind of tzak, right? Because, I mean, what he should have said was the other way around. We first paskin that he's dead. So how could we paskin that he's alive when it's in Rishus HaRabim? Instead, what Rabbi Yehuda says, well, no. When he went into the Rishus HaRabim, after he had been dead in the Rishus HaYochid, now we paskin he's alive. So how can he become dead from before? Why in the world did he skip the first stage? The first stage is that he was dead. This really doesn't make any sense. Why would this be true? There's a lot of fascinating discussions in this. The Chef Schmeitzer has a bunch of analysis of it, all types of Achrenische discussions about it. And the two basic approaches are the difference between the halacha of Suffolk Tuma as being Tameh, which would be true if you've got a chazaka. We always start with the chazaka that something is tar. So now if you're telling me we're going to paskin on the basis of his being in a Rishus HaYochid, that he's Tameh, that is considered to be a Chiddush HaKra. Now, in that case, where we have it the opposite way around, we have a Suffolk Tuma in a Rishus HaRabim, where we assume that the person is Tahar, and the Chiddush is that we don't care about the Suffolk, and we continue to paskin according to the Chazaka that he's Tahar, that is not a Chiddush HaKra. That should follow from the dinim of Chazaka in general. So therefore, if you now have to choose between a psak that would be based on a chiddush and a psak that's based on the normative halacha of chazaka, so then don't think that you're going to get your boots just because it's a new sada and we're dealing with Tyrus. Oh, no. The Gemara said you were mevater. So in this case, we will first establish the din by what's pashut and not by what the chiddush is. Okay, this is one possible approach. All right, it's a nice approach. The Chef Schmeitzer has a completely different approach, according to which this is basically the shita of Rabbi Shimon Lashitasai, because Rabbi Shimon Lashitasai holds in Nida that even though a Rishus HaRabim is Sveiko Tor, that's a Vadai. But according to Rabbi Shimon, Suffolk Tumor Rishus HaYochid Sveiko Tame doesn't mean Vadai Tame. It means that over there we won't apply the din, that we will follow the Chazaka and so on. But it's still a Suffolk. So therefore, if you have over here a something which is a suffix. While he was in Rishus HaYochi, he wasn't paskin as vadai tame. He was only a suffix tame. Masha Ein came when he comes into Rishus HaRabim, he is defined as vadai tohar, because that Rabbi Shimon agrees that the halakha from Nida paskins vadai tohar. So because of that, obviously, we're not going to ask a question, how could you say he was dead and now he's alive? I didn't say he was dead. I said you have to be machmir on a suffix. And therefore, in this case, you can only ask that Rabbi Shimon insists that it goes in that direction. That's one of the approaches of the Shav Shmaitza, and the Ribki Veger says he likes that approach, and he actually references the Shav Shmaitza. Okay, fine. Okay, gentlemen, excellent. It's a good beginning to Perek Shishi. And since Gavi is still here, I will actually, out of Rov, love, and concern, will still offer him a boost, although he actually probably has his own.
Let me get
my special new Gavi boost.
A boost to get the share on time. That's the problem.
I know, but he started being a good boy, just like Richie, so we're not sending him to the principal today. At least he pretends. He shows up, but then he goes behind the little G. And then he comes back at the end and he shows up again. So, you know, it's the old time that, you know, stamp the time card thing. It's better than nothing. So, kol tov, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Bisrotovot.